to, given that this this member is...
No, they're investigating him, Prime Minister, they're not investigating you.
Yeah, so but I don't want to offer any more commentary than Michael might not be.
I'm sorry I'm asking
Michael questions. Might not be correct about it.
Well, come on, it's quite a direct question. It's a straightforward question, Prime Minister.
About your judgment and how you approach appointing ministers.
Yes, so let me be clear. I made the appointment. I then got on with making other appointments. There was then a delay while the matter was cleared up. In announcing the appointment, I was told that it had been cleared up, and we got on with it.
What needed to be cleared up?
It was a matter concerning another colleague, and I really don't want to... it would not be right for me to get into it.
No, it wouldn't be right, because what happened to that colleague wasn't right at all, was it?
Well, I wasn't informed of that at the time, but I, having been subsequently informed about it, I can see that, you know, it's another reason not to have done, you know, not to have had that minister, if it was true, not to have had that minister in post. But on the other hand...
If it was true, do you believe that colleague who came to you or made overtures in the Baton, or do you believe Mr. Pinchon?
I think that these things have to be examined. I'm not going to make a comment about that. What happened was that my team interviewed both people and resolved the matter, and that's why we proceeded as we did.
Are you familiar with the Lassalle's principles?
I knew you were going to ask this, I know this is about Tommy.
Indeed, you watched the crowd.
Yes.
Yeah.
Go on, remind me.
So, if you were to go to Her Majesty and request, as it is a request, not to advise, but request a dissolution of Parliament, could you give me two conditions under which Her Majesty would be justified in declining your request?
No, I can look. You're asking about something that is not going to happen, unless everybody's so crazy as to try and have a new.
Prime Minister, you said it's not going to happen unless.
Well, I think that the history teaches us the best way to have a period of stability and government and not to have early elections is to allow people with mandates to get on.
Unless what? Unless what?
That's what I'm saying. So
you said unless what?
Unless people ignore that very good principle that history teaches us that the best way to avoid pointless political disturbance is to allow the government that has a mandate to get on and deliver its mandate. And that's
unless what?
That is what we're going to do.
What you're alluding to is...
Sorry, Mr. Ragg, just a minute. The Prime Minister...
Unless people forget that.
What does that mean?
That means that, on the whole, I think that it's a good thing if governments which have a substantial mandate from the electorate and are doing an enormous amount of stuff, and when that country is facing a lot of pressure, particularly economic pressure, when there are serious international issues at stake, I think on the whole it is sensible not to get bogged down in discussion about electoral politics, but to allow the government of the country to continue.
Can I just remind you that when the Prime Minister Major seemed to be threatening a general election because he was having trouble with the Maastricht Bill, it did his no reputation any good at all.
Well, exactly the point I made.
There would never have been a general election.
Can I thank you for that excellent historical lesson? And this is exactly the point I'm trying to make.
Well, I don't know why you said unless. Mr. Ragg.
Thank you, Sir Bernard. And so, if one of the conditions of the Sales Principles is that the sovereign could rely on finding another Prime Minister who could govern for a reasonable period with a working majority of the House of Commons, you'd accept that principle?
I want to agree passionately and strongly with what Sir Bernard has said. If you go back to the 90s, you don't solve problems by by threatening to call elections. You've got to get on with what you're elected to do, and that's what the government is. That's what the government is doing.
So I'm taking it that you accept that that's his principles.
They sound pretty. Insofar as they're designed to prevent pointless wildcat elections, they sound sensible to me.
Thank you, Sir Bernard.
Mr. Brown.
Thank you, Sir Bernard. Welcome, Prime Minister. Have you been told of any other allegations similar to the conduct of Mr. Pincher about any other ministers in your time as Prime Minister?
I'm going to have to tell you, Chris, that it is all too possible that people have said things to me about any number of people, possibly people around this horseshoe.
No, have you ever had?
It would be a great labour for me now to sit down and try to reconstruct every single piece of gossip or innuendo.
Not what I'm asking. I'm not asking about gossip and innuendo. I'm asking precisely about that you now accept that you were told on two occasions about Mr. Pincher's, the allegations against Mr. Pincher that were upheld
by
the Foreign Office. I'm asking, have you been told about any other such events relating to any other government minister formally?
Look, I'd have to get back to you. I mean, I would not want to.
It seems extraordinary that you wouldn't know whether there are allegations outstanding against your government ministers of sexual impropriety, such that they might constitute potentially criminal offences, apart from anything else.
Look, there's nothing that springs to mind. Okay. But you know,
all right.
I will say, Chris, is if you have some information.
No, I'm asking. I'm asking you this because it seems incredible to me that you would not remember that you've been told this about somebody who is one of your closest allies in Parliament.
I think I tried to explain exactly the circumstances.
Well, you haven't. But let me ask you a different question, because you've not answered this elsewhere. Did you say all the sex pests are supporting me, or words to that effect?
People attribute all sorts of things to me. I don't remember saying those words, but people ascribe all sorts of things to me.
That sounds like a yes to me. Okay. Did you say he's a bit handsy?
It's not a word I use, actually.
So that's a definite no?
I would not have used that word, but, you know.
It's a definite no, is it?
Look, I'm saying, people maybe hear me say all sorts of things. It's not handsy, as it happens, it's not a word I use, but.
All right, did you say Pincher by name, Pincher by nature?
I'm not going to get into some trivialising discussion of what I may or may not have said. This is a serious matter. The member is now being has had a complaint made against him, and that is where I propose to leave it.
No, but the point is,
the member's had a complaint made against him.
If you just let me for a moment, the point is that the allegation is that you have trivialised this issue. You've not even remembered it, perhaps because he's a useful ally to you.
Sorry,
and the point is that then you appointed somebody who you believed to be a sex pest in a position of power and authority over other people in Parliament.
So that's not right, because under any view, the issue at the Foreign Office was. Although it was upheld, it was resolved in a way that was satisfactory.
It was upheld.
It was resolved in a way that was satisfactory to all parties. And there are issues that you know I can't be confident that it was a sexual there was sexual implications.
Mr. McDonald makes it very clear that it was very similar to the allegations
that I was given on the occasions when it was mentioned to me, I was given very brief, very sketchy account.
Okay.
And I really think that you need
it just seems incredible that you wouldn't think that was a matter worth investigating or talking. Can I ask?
It was investigated.
And it was upheld. Was Neil Parish right to resign from Parliament?
Well, I think that the problem he had was that he was.
Was he right to resign?
It was his decision.
Was he right to resign?
I think that he was. doing something that is not normal or tolerated in most workplaces.
So should Chris Pincher resign from Parliament?
Well, you ask about my relationship with I took the whip away from him.
Should he resign from Parliament?
That's a matter for him.
So you think he should stay?
Well, that's a matter for him. But I took the... He no longer sits as a Conservative.
All right. Movie. Was it right for Sarah Dines to ask the man who was groped in the Carlton Club whether he was gay and to say that it was problematic that he was?
You're asking me about you know, what other members are alleged to have said. I can't...
No, there are five other... Including people in this room, there are five other MPs who witnessed it. It's not in any doubt, and I don't think she has denied it. Was it right, or is it not victim-shaming?
Let me put it this way. I think that what happened was extremely serious, and as soon as I knew that a complaint had been made and I talked to a witness, and I removed the whip.
Have you talked to Sarah Dines about it?
I haven't talked to her about that, but I removed the whip immediately.
Do you not understand why this is problematic? Because it means that being gay, for some reason or other, makes you sort of asking for it.
Chris, look, I see why you're putting it like that. I don't know whether I very much doubt that Sarah meant it to be.
You said that way. You said yesterday about Chris Pincher, if I had my time again. This is a bit of Captain Hindsight, if you don't mind me saying, but if I had my time again...
You know who he is. Yeah.
Yeah, it's you. If I had my time again, I would think back on it and recognise he wasn't going to learn any lessons and he wasn't going to change. But that's true about you, isn't it? You're not going to learn any lessons and you're not going to change. You're not capable of changing. We'll be doing this again, time and time again, if you stay in post, won't you?
Well, come into this committee. I will. I will. You know, I hope very much to be.
Come on. You know what to be invited, Prime Minister. He's not asking that question.
Well, I don't know quite. Well, I mean,
you know exactly what I'm asking. You don't. This is all about you in the end. The reason these things happen is because of you. He took liberties because he knows that you take liberties and get away with it, and allow other people to get away with taking liberties.
That's right. I'm not quite sure what you're driving at there.
I think you know perfectly well what I'm driving at. But you said on one of the other broadcasts, you said, if you're saying you want me to undergo some sort of psychological transformation, I think that our listeners would know that that is not going to happen. Isn't that the problem? We need a psychological transformation if you're to stay in office.
What we, with the greatest possible respect, what I think we all need to do is focus on the things that our electorates sent us here to settle for them. And they are how to fix the post-COVID economic shocks, and that's what we're doing. How to make sure that we improve the life chances of every kid growing up in this country. I think what Robert said about kids being excluded from school was incredibly important, and I'm going to go away and look at that. These are the issues that matter to the people of this country. And that does not exclude the fascination that people will have with these other subjects, but that is what I am focused on.
No, they also focus on honesty and decency and propriety and standards in public life, and they hate it when people, when they get caught out, just want to turn over the table and abolish all the rules. But let me ask you one very specific final question, which is just about the ministerial code, because it enshrines the existence of the independent advisor on the ministerial interests in the ministerial code. You haven't got one at the moment. I hope you're going to appoint one very soon and you can tell us who that's going to be. But you authorised an investigation into Mark Spencer's alleged Islamophobia, which I gather Lord Gyte had very nearly completed. Mm. When will that be completed and when will it be published?
That's a very good question. I think that Lord Gyte did give me a brief update on it. I had the impression it was nearing conclusion. I'll have to get back to you.
And is there going to be a replacement?
Yes,
when?
There will be. As soon as we can find one. I think the difficulty...
You haven't got enough ministers to appoint yet, let alone... You've lost 32 now.
I'm sure there will be no shortage of candidates. If I could just explain a bit about the replacement for Lord Gyte. I do think there is an issue, and I think that you know we need to think about it collectively, which is what happens when we appoint these people. I think that they become very exposed and very vulnerable to abuse, to political pressure, to campaigns, and I'm just giving you my view. But they're much more public than they used to be. So Christopher, I think, did an outstanding job, but he was facing a lot of public pressure.
He resigned because he thought you'd lied to him.
That's not what he said. He said that he resigned over the question of whether steel tariffs should be imposed.
He didn't resign over steel tariffs. You know perfectly well that's not the truth.
I'm sure you've seen his letter.
Yes.
That's what he says. The issue there was whether imposing or keeping, retaining steel tariffs in the UK
within
breach of WTO.
I'm sorry, Prime Minister. He resigned, as he says in his letter, because he knew that he wanted to initiate an investigation into your breaching of the Ministerial Code, but he couldn't do so without resigning, and that put him in an impossible position.
Sorry,
that's expressly what his letter says.
Sorry, well, then you must have seen another letter, because that's not what it
is. No, I read it and you didn't.
I'm going to have to disagree with you,
Jennifer. Thank you, Chair. After that outbreak of mythomania, let's perhaps get down to some facts. So, Prime Minister, you know my job in Parliament is to do the maths. You have a pen there. Could you tell us what 148 plus 32 adds up to?
I'm going to leave that. I think what you're inviting me to do.
No, I'm asking you a simple question, Prime Minister. I asked you how many MPs you have. Perhaps someone's slipped you a note just to remind you how many Conservative MPs you have. Do you know how many Conservative MPs you have in Parliament?
I think, Meg, this is a question designed to invite me
Prime Minister, let me answer it then. So you have 358 MPs. You did think it was 365. You have lost a few. As Mr. Bryant has highlighted, you now have 32 ministers and PPSs who've resigned. It was 28 at the beginning of this meeting, and then an additional PPS who will resign tomorrow if you don't resign. So that makes it 182 if you include her. So half of 358, Prime Minister, just to make the maths simple for you, is 179. It's not looking very good, is it?
Well, Meg, you're wanting me to comment on
you've lost the confidence of more than half of your party, not including other members in this room who may not be in the 148. I've been generous and not double counted.
Well, sure. I'm here to talk about the government of the country, the policies of the
country. Mr. Prime Minister, without the support of your party, you cannot govern this country responsibly or well. Whatever our political disagreements, I have respect for the office of Prime Minister, but I'm afraid I've completely lost respect for you and your capability to run this country.
Well, I think if you look at the actions that we're taking today, the bills that we're getting through, we are doing some fantastic things for the people of this country, and we'll continue to do it. And I appreciate they may not be supported by the Labour Party, Meg, but that's not my problem. That's your
problem. Darren
Jones.
It's being reported that there's a delegation of your cabinet colleagues waiting in Downing Street, including the Chief Whip, the Transport Secretary, and your new Chancellor, waiting to tell you when you finish here today that it's time for you to go. How will you respond to that?
Darren, you're asking me to comment on...
This conversation will happen in a few minutes, Prime Minister.
So you say, but I, if you want to ask about what we're doing to help people with the cost of living, if you want to ask about what we're doing to build more clean, green energy supply, which this committee has taken an interest in.
That's going to be your answer to the Cabinet colleagues.
I'm very happy to talk to you about it, but I'm not going to give a running commentary on political events. We're going to get on with the government of the country.
Prime Minister, on the question of the Prime Minister's advisor on ministerial interests, you had two resignations, not just one. Why did Sir Alex Allen resign?
Well, Sir Alex, is I think he's pretty well documented, I thank him too, was asked to investigate allegations of bullying against the Home Secretary. The team produced quite a long report which was based on a lot of extensive work, mainly anonymized interviews. And I read it very thoroughly. And the trouble I found with it was that nothing that the Home Secretary had actually said seemed to me to breach the threshold necessary to trigger her resignation. Although you might argue that she should have spoken in a different way from time to time, it didn't seem to me that the allegations wholly stacked up, and I thought that it didn't trigger a resignation. Sir Alex,
that wasn't the reason. The reason that he resigned is because you wouldn't even accept his report.
Let me say what happened. So Sir Alex took a view that it wasn't that. I read the report and I read the whole thing. He didn't actually write it, but he simply read it and drew some conclusions. I read all the interrogations that had taken place, and it didn't seem to me that. Although she might have spoken differently from time to time, it didn't seem to me that she deserved to be fired on the basis of what I read. I read the whole thing. So I made this point. Now, the difficulty was that Sir Alex thought that the ministerial code had been breached, even if in a minor way, and that any breach of the ministerial code necessarily meant a resignation. That view has subsequently been modified by the Committee on Standards in Public Life, who have said that the ministerial that there can be gradations of sanctions for breaches of the ministerial code.
So what you should have done is accepted Sir Alex Allen's report. He would not have resigned.
Well, then it would still be
in your gift not to demand the Home Secretary's resignation.
No, but it wasn't.
And the system would have been changed retrospectively as it has done. But you wouldn't even accept his report.
No, as I remember, the problem was that in order to... I would have had to accept the Home Secretary's resignation. That was the problem. And that didn't seem to me to... Although that didn't seem to me to be a necessary outcome.
I mean, supposing you continue in office, what are the lessons you learn from the appointment of... Chris Pincher.
I think the most important lesson is, first of all, don't be less optimistic about people's ability to learn.
Perhaps take a bit more interest in it, because it's extraordinary how many things.
And then secondly,
perhaps you should just take a bit more interest.
Secondly, when something like this happens, make sure that we do a full timetable. Of exactly what happened and when it happened, so that when people go out to brief, they've got all the facts at their fingertips.
But it's not a comms failure, this Prime Minister. It's a proprietary and ethics failure. Isn't the real lesson that if we promote people with the wrong behaviour and attitudes in this place, it will give permission for people to behave in that way, which is why we've got a culture problem in this place?
I think it's what you're saying is very important. I've given this a lot of thought, and I do think there is a problem with alcohol, and I've always resisted this conclusion in the past, but it sort of feels to me that some people simply can't take their drink, and we need to. We need to think about how we work that as in Parliament. Now, this particular event took place
in Parliament.
But there is also an issue about standards of behaviour, and I additionally accept that I should have been more stringent. In my approach, as I've said earlier, I regret that.
But don't we also need to learn, I take it that Chris Pincher is a friend of yours, and that would be perfectly respectable, that we've let him down because we didn't give him the help he needed.
I think that's a very fair point.
What system is there in this place to support people in that position? What do you have in place as a leader of a political party to help people who have behavioural or drink problems?
Well, I think that we all have a duty as colleagues to look after each other and to try to help people, and that's actually one of the functions of the WIPS office, apart from.
Well, I mean, unfortunately, WIPS have other duties, and they rather conflict with their duty of care. And there needs to be something else to support people who need help, who don't feel that they're giving ammunition to the people who control their careers. So that doesn't work, does it? We've now got another whip appointed to do the duty of care work. I mean, that's not going to work, is it?
I Bernard, what are you proposing?
I'm not going to make policy on the hoof here, but what you've got in place as leader of your party is not working. Mm. Would you accept that?
No, I think there are issues about standards of behaviour, and I think I reluctantly come to the conclusion that there is an issue with alcohol.
Well, I mean, you're the last person in the room to accept that there's a problem. Why do you think integrity in public life has become such an issue under your premiership?
Well, I think actually the reality is that, you know, I think that people are very, very keen to try to get me